Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, February 7th. I'm Ray Graff on the first show. Following our successful fun drive, we welcome veterinarian Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital for this edition of Pets and Vets. So if you're snowed in at home with doggy or kitty cat, give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551 if you have a question. Or you can email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number on this call-in program, 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets with Dr. O'Loughlin today, and we'll get it underway after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program this afternoon, and here to take your calls is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York. Now, you know Dr. O'Loughlin. She is a great guest. She is a grad of Cornell University. She joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998, and always great to have her on the program. Always great to have somebody fairly local on a day like today. Our number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. If you have a pet question for the vet, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Carrie, before we start the show, how are the roads?
They're pretty slippery, and actually, I'm not that local. It takes me about an hour to drive here in good weather.
You didn't come right from the Del Mar Animal Hospital?
No, I don't work on Wednesdays. That's why I'm able to do the show.
I didn't realize. I thought you came right from the office.
No.
You really did work hard to get here. Well, thank you very much for that.
I have four-wheel drive truck, so.
I've been here since 7 o'clock in the morning. There was not a flake falling at that hour, and we've been inside all day, and there are no windows. It's like a casino.
Yeah.
There are no windows. You never know what time it is. It's very exciting. Well, the fun drive was great, and before we start the show, I want to thank everybody who pitched in during the fun drive, the two-day on-air drive, or the weeks leading up online. Our listeners are just amazing. Really.
Absolutely. $2 million is just incredible.
It was an unbelievable showing. And, you know, if you're listening and you have never pledged, I forgive you. But consider it sometime because we'll be gone someday if you don't. So if you have a question for Dr. O'Loughlin and you haven't pledged and there's no more radio station, that's the issue. Our number here is 800-348-2551. You ready? Or do you have anything you want to talk about?
No, I guess might as well go to the phones.
All right, let's do that thing then. Let's go to Amy in Queensbury. Amy, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I adopted a senior bonded pair about a year and a half ago. They're both 12 years old. The male, shortly after I adopted them, started vomiting bile in the morning.
Ouch.
And it was consistent. It was always on time, always in the morning. So I started doing some research online, and I changed his food from a dry kibble. I started cooking for him. I cooked turkey and salmon and added a calcium supplement to it. I added digestive enzyme to each meal. And after a while, he started vomiting bile again. It ceased for a little while. Brought him to the vet. We did his full CBC blood work profile. The doctor said to keep him on the good food that he's on. It can't hurt him. It's very healthy for him. And he's been on a very long course of metronidazole. He's coming up to the end of his course, and I started tapering off his dose to see if his stool is going to start to soften again and if he's going to start to vomit bile. He hasn't done either yet, but if it does, my first question is, what are the side effects of the metronidazole? Is it cancerous? Is it bad for him? For his age, and also if the symptoms do continue, what's my next course of action?
So besides vomiting bile, he's also had some off stools?
Yes.
Okay.
Very soupy, very watery.
Okay. Because if it's just vomiting bile, we definitely see some dogs that do that overnight just from having their stomach sit empty overnight. So
yeah,
I've been able to get some dogs to, if you just give them a little snack before bed so they don't go to bed with an empty stomach, they do much better. Or doing an antacid before bed, antacid with dinner so that, they're decreasing the stomach acid. Sometimes that will help with the vomiting. But with the stool issue as well, I would be a little concerned that maybe he's having some food ingredient issues. You know, if he's become intolerant to something in his diet. So one thought might be to consider, not hypoallergenic, but they call them a limited ingredient diet, where you put him on something he's never had before in his life. They make like, you know, fish and sweet potato or venison and green pea, those kinds of things.
He was on the Natural Balance, sweet potato and fish.
Ah, he was.
And he still had a bad reaction to it.
Okay. All right. You know, the metronidazole basically is an antibiotic that is, you know, made to sort of kill off any bad bacteria that might be causing the digestive upset. Some dogs are on it long term for other issues, so it's not a problem for him to be on it long term, but it would be nice to see if you could find, you know, the root cause.
Okay.
So it may take just searching, doing a little more diet playing around with. There are also hydrolyzed diets, which where they chop up the proteins really tiny so the dog doesn't recognize it, and some dogs do well on that.
All right, Amy, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Add acids for dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Digel, or what do you
do? No. Generally, you don't want to give anything like Tums or anything like that because of the calcium.
Right. Calcium bad for dogs?
Well, if you're giving a lot of it, you know, I mean, it's not good. And so generally you're looking at more of like the Pepcids and the Xantax.
And that's all right for an animal.
Yes, there are certain doses you want to use. So, you know, you definitely want to speak to your veterinarian.
Wow, that's really cool. I never knew.
Yep.
Let's go to Bob and Howe Caverns. Bob, you're on.
Yes, we have a dog that likes to eat her own excrement, and especially cat excrement. Is there something that we can put in the food which will make the excrement distasteful for them?
So, yes, some dogs just love to eat poop, especially kitty Tootsie Rolls are, you know, yummy, yummy.
What?
So, you know, either need to make it unavailable. You know, in my house, we have the cat litter boxes behind doors that are kept open by a 6-inch hook and eye so that the cats can get in and out, but the dogs can't. But if you can't keep the dog away from the litter pan, and also for his own stool, they make a product that is called Forbid that you can use, but there's also, I've heard, Adolph's meat tenderizer.
Really?
If you sprinkle the food, it's supposed to give their poop a bad taste.
So put it on the food.
Yes, you put it on the food.
The kitty food, too.
That the animal is eating. It's supposed to make their poop taste not good.
Oh, sure. We have made off meat tenderizer.
Yeah. Sure. The other things I always tell people is, that, you know, sabotaging it, you know, putting some hot sauce or something on it so that the next time he eats it, he gets a horrible taste in his mouth and decides maybe the next time around he'll think twice before doing it. That's another option as well.
Nice.
So make it unavailable or make it taste bad.
Always has to be at least one call like that on the program. Might as well get it out of the way early. Let's go over to Nancy in Middletown. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an elderly cat, 13 years of age, who was recently diagnosed with congestive heart failure. He thankfully responded to the medication that he's been put on, which is Vetmedin for increasing the contractibility, I guess, of the heart. And he's also on a Lasix for the diuresing. He seems to be responding, but I want to be realistic. Would he eventually, would his body stop responding at some point? I'm kind of wondering about his longevity.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, because unfortunately with kitty cats, once their heart disease progresses to the point where they're starting to get congestive, it's not great. But with medication, and if he did respond well to it, we have seen cats go a year. Sometimes, unfortunately, you're only talking months. So, you know, definitely make sure he keeps on his meds and, you know, you can monitor his respiratory rate at home, you know, just watching him breathe.
Which I do. He runs around 40 a minute.
Yeah. That's kind of the upper end. So you might want to talk to your vet about, you know, dosage adjustments. You do have to be careful with Lasix, the diuretic, because it can affect their kidneys. So you want to monitor their blood work as well and just sort of keep an eye on things. But it's a matter of tweaking medicine. But, you know, I hopefully if he responded well, you've still got some time with him.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Nancy. We appreciate the call. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Our number is 800-348-2551. Well, we're really moving through the calls today. So let's take one more before the first break. Paul in Pittsfield. Paul, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. What's been happening here with my dog? An 8-year-old golden doodle, and she's very, very hesitant to go up a set of stairs to the upstairs. And what I've been doing is trying to encourage her, and she eventually, when she starts going up those stairs, she's fine. She doesn't have any hip problems or anything of that sort. But now what I'm doing is kind of ignoring her, and that's working too, but I'm wondering what could be causing this. A friend of mine who has had dogs his whole life, he thinks maybe it could even be an ear infection. Could that possibly be it, or is it psychological? Yeah. I've had dogs all my life, and I've never had a situation, you know, like this. So
interesting.
Any help would be appreciated.
So does she have any trouble jumping, like jumping onto?
No, she doesn't
into
jump
the car,
much.
Or...
she'll jump into the car because, well, it's kind of funny. I actually got a very low car for my dogs because they couldn't jump into my truck because my truck is very high. But that had nothing to do with it. That's just that it was a high truck. So it's very easy for them to get in the cars. They run every day. We take them in the woods every single day. So it's not like a hip dysplasia or anything of that sort. And once she starts going up those stairs, she's okay. It's just she'll hesitate, almost kind of go forward like she wants to, and then eventually she'll go. She never did. She's 8 years old. She never did this till about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question in my mind would be, is if she having some mild pain that you know, once she gets moving, it's okay?
Yeah.
Or is it psychological? Did something happen on the stairs that sort of
interesting
has made her a little afraid of them?
Right.
You know, it wouldn't hurt to get her checked and just make sure she doesn't have, like, a partial tear of a cruciate or something weird like that that she's just afraid is going to hurt when she goes up the stairs. But it does, you know, when she gets moving, it works.
All right, we have to take a break here. But, Paul, thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. We'll be back on Pets and Vets.
Support for WMC comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. And Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. And before we get back to the phones, Doc, let's take a few that came in via email and the internet. A couple of Facebook questions here from Barbell. My kitty was diagnosed with a huge tumor. I've never had a pet put down. Any thoughts?
I guess it depends on the quality of life of the kitty cat. Just, you know, because they have a tumor doesn't mean it's the end. It depends on what the tumor's causing the cat as far as problems. But my feeling is I always tell people you need to give their life a grade. What does a cat like to do? Is a cat able to do the things it likes to do? Is it just basically subsisting, sleeping, you know, whatever? If you would grade its life less than a C, then it may be
okay.
Time.
This is from Judy on Facebook. Is there a cat that is hypoallergenic and has fur rather than hair and doesn't make folks sneeze?
No.
No?
there are technically hairless cats.
Yeah.
But no, it's basically, most people are allergic to the dander. It's really the skin cells that they're allergic to. So, yes, animals that shed hair less shed less skin cells, I guess, on a regular basis.
Okay.
But no, there's no good hypoallergenic cats.
All right, this one came in via email from Donna. My cat, who is of unknown age, has to have a tica in his left ear because of recurrent ear infections that are drug resistant. Will he be deaf in that ear after the surgery? And will the vet give him something for pain? And that's from Donna. First of all, what's tica?
Tica is a total ear canal ablation.
Oh, boy.
So basically, you know, if you feel the side of your head, in animals, the ear canal runs down the side of their face and then makes a left-hand turn and goes into their eardrum.
Mm-hmm.
We basically have just the left-hand turn. We don't have the rest of the upper ear canal.
Okay.
You basically are removing all of that down to the eardrum.
Okay.
So I always tell people, if you want to know what the animal is going to hear like, put your hand over your ear. And yes, it's muffled, but they can hear, and they're not in pain. That's the main thing, is having chronic ear infections is horribly painful for these dogs.
Okay.
Cats. And of course, yes, they should give pain medication at the time of surgery.
But it's not a... In other words, the cat will, or dog will be okay.
Yes. Once they're healed, they generally go from being painful all the time to not being in pain.
This one's from Kathy, also via email. Cat likes plastic. My healthy 6.5-year-old cat likes to lick plastic bags, such as bread bags or kids in storage bags, or even storage containers that are clean in the dish strainer. The plastic doesn't necessarily have to smell of food. It's more intense when she is hungry. Any ideas as to the attraction?
No, but I've heard lots of cats loving plastic. So
what's up with that?
I don't know. I guess it's just a particular kitty thing. But yeah, I've heard of cats who have plastic fetishes where they just want, or they'll shred plastic bags or they'll lick them.
Really?
Yeah.
Cats are weird.
As long as they're not eating them,
getting
obstructed, you're all right.
Let's go to Gene in Saratoga Springs. Gene, you're on.
Hi. Hi, doctor. I have a 15-year-old... Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I'm sorry. I have a 15-year-old dog. When I got him, he was about 2 years old, and he was never house trained. He just never went until he was taken out. So it's not like he goes to the door or whatever. I just, on regular intervals would take him out. And I've never had a problem. And just in the last week, he has peed in the house 4 or 5 times. And I had him checked last week for his urine, and everything was fine. He had his wellness check, and everything was fine. And I can't figure out what the problem is or how to – I never trained him, so I don't know how to now at this point get him to know he needs to tell me if he has to go out.
Right. Couple of questions. So he didn't have an infection.
Nope.
You said? Okay. And does he seem to be, like, going to a spot and urinating, or is he urinating where he's lying? Is it?
He urinated on a blanket on the bed, but I don't know when that happened. I discovered it later. And he's peed in several different places on the rug.
Okay. Because, the question is he becoming incontinent, where he's having trouble holding it? And then it would, be occurring where he's resting or lying. If he's actively, peeing on spots, then I would be a little more concerned with a 15-year-old that it could be basically his cognitive ability is declining. Some dogs lose their housebreaking because basically it's, doggy Alzheimer's.
Uh-huh.
So really just making sure he gets out as frequently. You may even need to take him out a little more frequently. Praise him when he goes outside. And then you kind of have to go back to sort of puppy 101 and keep him under a watchful eye when he's in the house.
But you need to rule out physical first, right?
Yes, yes. So, try and figure out if you could catch him, it would be nice to know. Is he literally standing there and peeing, or is it just sort of leaking out of him when he's laying there?
No, I think he's standing there and peeing. The other morning I got up you know, and I'm brushing my teeth, and he usually stands in the bathroom door and just, you know, watches whatever walks around. And I looked down at him, and he was fine. I looked down again, and he had peed.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't even notice it because I was busy, you know, with other things.
All right. I mean, if he's...
So I don't think it's leaking
right
out of him.
Yeah. I would be a little worried that he's losing a little mental capacity there. And there are some medications that can help with that. So you may want to talk to your vet. 15
is a long run for a dog.
It's very old, yes. So he's a 90-something-year-old, you know.
Now, I had heard, and I don't know if it's true or not, that an animal will try to sort of tell you if it has a kidney issue or some kind of issue by peeing indoors.
No, not really. I mean, it's because they're having a problem. You know, with kidneys, they're often making lots and lots of urine because the kidneys are not able to concentrate the urine. So sometimes their bladder just fills up so much they can't hold it, you know, things like that.
All right, let's go to Alyssa in Chatham. Alyssa, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about my daughter's feral cat. She obviously loves the outdoors. We want to use a harness to walk her so she can stay out of trouble, but we're wondering if there's a good harness out there we can look for.
I am not completely familiar with the various types of kitty harnesses that are out there right now, I have to admit. But cats are also can be quite adept at getting out of harnesses,
yes.
Especially if this is a little bit of a, you know, semi-wild kitty.
Yes.
I would look for one that tends to sort of tighten up if the cat pulls, you know, has a little bit of a slip in it, so that if the cat does try to get away, it's going to tighten up the harness instead of slipping out of it. So I think it's just a matter of doing a little, you know, Google shopping to see what's out there for kitty harnesses.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. And Gloria in Sandusfield, Mass., you're on.
Yes, I have two border collies, and they're on NexGard and TriHeart every month. And what I'd like to know is if they really have to be on NexGard every month, especially in the cold weather. Of course, the NexGard prevents ticks. And I'd like to give them a drug holiday, if that's possible. And I'd like to know your opinion about NexGard versus the Seresto collar and TriHeart compared to the other heartworm medications.
So as far as taking the winter off, unfortunately, ticks don't take the winter off. So any day it is above freezing, there will be ticks crawling out of their little hiding spots, even if there's snow on the ground. They will go hide next to a house foundation or find some sheltered spot. I've had dogs in my office in February with ticks on them.
Hmm.
So, unfortunately, the fleas definitely get killed off in the winter. The ticks, not so much. Now, as far as NexGard versus Seresto, I think they both work very well. It depends on whether you want a collar on your dog versus just giving them a treat every month. I personally use NexGard in my dogs, but we have several, we have a bunch of clients that love the Seresto collars, so they both have their qualities. And as far as TriHeart versus other heartworm preventions, I don't have strong feelings about that. They all work very well. It's sort of a brand particularness.
Okay. Well, Gloria, thank you for the call. Our number on this program is 800-348-2551. And Colleen in Brattleboro, Vermont. Colleen, you're on.
Hi. I've had several Silky Terriers in the past, and they've been phenomenally wonderful pets, gentle, kind. And so when my last one just passed, he had Cushing's disease, and it was very sad. I needed to replace him. And so we went to New Jersey and got a rescue who looked just like him in every way, but is hardly like him. He's cute and he's affectionate, but if you try to take him off the bed, he growls and he snaps. And especially if I'm on the bed with him and my husband comes toward the bed, he will bite my husband. And so we've been dealing with it. He's improved, but sometimes he has setbacks. And we're in a setback mode right now. Yeah, it's tough.
So have you had him to any kind of training?
Yes, we went to agility training, which is no problem. I mean, he's a wonderful little dog. But when it's almost like he's spoiled in one way, I feel. But in another way, I feel maybe he's been taunted because he's maybe 2 or 3 years old, they told us. And he's been from family to family. So, I mean, my husband is livid, and I don't blame him because he does tend to bite him. But he has bitten me, too, and I'm his greatest defender. So I really don't know where to go to with this. I took him to the vet, and we ruled out any kind of brain parasite or whatever could possibly be causing this.
Right, right.
So what do you think?
Well, yeah. I think it's tough when you have a dog that feels it's okay to bite people. Ideally, you really should seek the help of a veterinary behaviorist. The problem, of course, is they're few and far between. So for this area, you're looking at going down to Westchester or to one of the vet schools, either Tufts or Cornell.
It's a long drive from Brattleboro.
Which, it's not easy. But there are, good trainers in the area. I'm not that familiar with Brattleboro and what's around there, but I would certainly try to find someone who feels, you may have to pay to work one-on-one with this person, but that feels that they're confident in working with a dog with some territorial-type aggression behaviors to teach you how to teach the dog, the proper behavior. And it definitely get your husband involved, because if, the husband trains the dog, then the dog is going to realize he needs to pay attention to your husband and not feel that he's the boss.
That would explain, however, why the dog has had several different owners.
It's always more behavior issues with dogs that have had multiple homes, for sure.
And terriers are tough.
Yeah, and it's sad.
Yep. And I know probably, although you're probably not going to like to hear this, one of the first things they're going to tell you is the dog doesn't go on the bed.
Which is comforting for me. So that takes a huge part of what a dog is to me away from me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, unless you don't like your husband, and then he won't go on the bed.
Well, that's another option.
Okay. All right. You could think about that one. Colleen, thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Schnauzer a terrier as well?
No.
But they can be nasty too.
They have that same very strong personality.
I had to. I knew one once, and to make him like me, I had to keep throwing him Pollock, throwing him in the air, and it took about 2 months, and then the dog loved me. But they have attitude problems as well. Sharon in Poughkeepsie is on. Sharon.
Hi. I recently adopted a 4-month-old kitty, and it is it has 3 legs, and the top left leg was amputated recently. But when I adopted them, or her, they told me that she never really used the leg, and that's why they ended up amputating it. So my question is, should I look into a prosthetic, and should I be concerned with overuse of the other leg? Because, she literally hops, so.
You will be shocked how quickly this cat is going to fly around on 3 legs. So I would say no on the prosthetic.
Can you get such a thing?
Not easily. And it would probably bother the cat more than it would help.
Yeah.
Cats are amazing. I mean, it is harder with a front leg for sure than losing a back leg. But like they said, if this was a kitten and it's never really had good use of that front leg, it doesn't know any different. And it will climb and jump and just be a normal cat. Now, God forbid anything does happen to that other front leg. Yeah, that's, true of any 3-legged animal. But I've known 3-legged cats that if you didn't look close, you would never know they were missing a leg.
All right, Sharon, thank you for the call. Over to Mike in Litchfield, Connecticut. Mike, you're on.
Good afternoon. I'm calling because the family dog on Sunday had all of a sudden her lips were turning gray, and she was just lying down. She's a mixed breed, and we found out that she's got a boxer and pointer, so Doberman Pinscher and her. And we rushed her to the vet. The vet said they had most likely that she had a tumor in her heart and drained her pericardial cavity, which was filling up with fluid. And what predicated to that occurring was that she was walking down the stairs, running down the stairs, and she fell. And then about 5 minutes later is when this all occurred. We thought maybe she might have ruptured broken a rib and it might have ruptured in her cavity, but they've determined that it's definitely a tumor. And they said it's very common. More about this particular type of a tumor. Why is it common? What is the onset of that, if you have any insight into that?
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, it sounds like she has a tumor called a hemangiosarcoma, which is a tumor.
Hemangiosarcoma,
which is a tumor of blood vessels. Happens commonly in the larger breed dogs, especially golden retrievers are really renowned for them, but Rottweilers, Dobermans, those kinds of things as well. And it can happen in the spleen, in the liver, or in the heart. And unfortunately, you often don't find it until they start to bleed. Mm. And in the case of the heart, because the heart is surrounded by the pericardium, which is a very tough sac that protects the heart, when the tumor starts to bleed, basically it fills that sac with blood, and then there's not enough room for the heart to expand, so the heart can't pump very well, and the dog gets suddenly very weak.
Right.
And you can drain that fluid out like they did, and that will give the dog relief. Unfortunately, you can't take this tumor out because it's on the heart.
Yeah.
With other places, you can take a spleen out, you can take the, you know, other things out. But so it's a matter of keeping the dog, you know, from crashing around too much if you can to traumatize it, and it potentially drain the fluid if it builds up again.
How often?
Well, it depends, and this is probably.
It's too late. I just want to know about the medical side of it.
This is unfortunately a short, you know, once you diagnose this, the dog unfortunately doesn't have very long. So I'm sorry.
Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin.
Support for WAMC comes from Culligan Water of the Northeast. For over 80 years, providing pure drinking water as well as options for problem water at home and at work. CulliganNortheast.com. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York. Supplying the greater capital region with custom display solutions, commercial casework, and interactive exhibits for trade shows, special events, and museum exhibitions. EmpireExhibits.com. Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig. A worker-owned and operated service, repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. And the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York. Working on land protection projects that safeguard the water quality of Lake George, hiking maps, public events, and more at lglc.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with you and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin on a Pets and Vets edition on this snowy Wednesday afternoon. And before we get back to the phones, Doctor, let's take a few from the email. This one's from Thomas. Are there any good natural treatments for cat hyperesthesia or rolling skin syndrome? If regular meds, what is affordable and least sedating? Our cat often attacks after an episode and then moments later is back to being as kind of skittish self.
Well, I will tell you, hyperesthesia. So what is hyperesthesia?
Yes, what is it?
So hyperesthesia is sort of an unexplained over feeling of sensation. So you just touch the cat and they feel like they've been sort of electrocuted or they're super itchy.
Okay.
You know, you run your hand down their back and they're trying to, you know, scratch themselves really badly because it feels really itchy. All right. So I I would tend to lean more towards drugs that are going to calm nerve sensation down. You know, there's a drug called gabapentin, which is a nerve pain agent. It comes in a liquid, and cats don't mind the taste of it.
Okay.
And it's not terribly expensive, and it doesn't really sedate them.
So it's a good step.
I would try something like gabapentin in a cat like that.
All right. This one is from Jessica. Dog fights. My daughter's dog is sometimes visiting with us. We have a male terrier, and my daughter's dog is a male hound. They seem to be respectful of each other, but they have gotten into a fight or two on occasion. No one is hurt. It seemed to be more of an argument. Is this something to be concerned about? What should our response be in these situations?
Well, I guess it depends on what sets them off. You know, if it's something to do with food, if it's something to do with, you know, protecting the various owners, I would just try and avoid the situation if you can figure out what's setting them off.
Okay.
You know, the biggest concern, I guess, is if they have a sort of a big dog and a little dog, is sometimes the little dog can start it, but then...
Can't finish it.
But gets the worst of the damage.
Okay. This one's from Martin. Kitten that bites. We have a 15-week-old rag doll kitten that bites, otherwise very loving. We found a few different suggestions online that aren't working very well. And that's from Martin.
Again, it depends. A lot of times this is sort of they were never taught how to play appropriately. So certainly making sure they're not playing with their hands with the kitten, you know, tickling it or doing anything with your hands. Try to get it to play with toys that are away from your hands, and reprimand it. You know, move away. If it starts to bite at you, you get up and you walk away. And if it learns its toy leaves every time it bites, it'll get the idea.
I thought cats were much smarter than that.
Well, I mean, it depends. And a lot of times these are single kittens or kittens that were taken away from their litter really young because they learn from their litter mates what's appropriate play and what's not acceptable. So I've certainly seen this in cats that were hand-raised where they weren't around other litter mates. They often tend to be more of the bitey. And they're not necessarily being mean. They're just, you know, they think they're playing, but teeth hurt.
The reason I wonder about the smarts, I grew up with a seal point, had it from a kitten. We used to play, and the cat would bite me and scratch me, but it would never break the skin.
Right.
And it was all the cat was a combative cat, and we had a great time. Never once touched anybody else. It knew a boundary that I thought it was okay to play like that, and that's uncommon.
Yeah, it probably saw you as a litter mate and was playing with you like it would. A litter mate.
Make up your own joke there. Yeah. Let's go to Chris in Gilboa. Chris, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a approximately 8-year-old golden mix with really bad breath and was wondering if there were any suggestions about how to help with that, whether it's diet or what I can do.
Well, the first thing I would do is look at the dog's teeth, because the number one cause of bad breath is they have tartar buildup, which is trapping bacteria, and that's what's causing the odor. So if the teeth are really brown and dirty and gray looking around and the gums look red, then the dog really needs its teeth cleaned. And then
his mouth seems to be in pretty good shape.
Okay. If it's not the teeth, then sometimes the odor can be coming sort of up from the stomach. And sometimes a diet change can do it. You always want to do a diet change gradually.
Right.
And again, this is sometimes if the diet change doesn't work or, you know, there's still sometimes, again, the antacids will sometimes help because sometimes it's a little bit of
reflux.
I did try to give him, what do you call that? Probiotics.
Right.
And it did not seem
to make a difference.
Sort of helped a little bit, and then it didn't help.
Because
he does have a bit of a, he's a rescue dog. He has a bit of a sensitive stomach.
If he's got a sensitive stomach, too, it could be that whatever he's eating isn't quite agreeing with him. So, you know, maybe again going to one of these limited ingredient diets and all. How old?
8.
Okay. Because the other thing you do worry about with bad breath, too, is it sometimes can be a sign that there's something not quite right with the organs. So, you know, maybe just getting a general health checkup, make sure everything's okay. And then you can always try the diet.
Chris. Thank you for the call. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. 800-348-2551, the number. Kathleen in Berkshire County. Kathleen, you're on.
Yes. I was wondering if you have any concerns around the GMOs that are in dog and cat food.
Personally, I don't. But then again, okay. I also don't worry too much about GMOs myself. So
no,
I'm not that sensitive to it. I honestly think for the average dog or cat, I don't think it's going to make a big difference.
Have a healthy 5-year-old German Shepherd.
Yeah.
That seems to be able to eat anything, but I tend to get the more recommended health brands, though none of them say non-GMO.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know that GMOs has been a big thing in pet food. I haven't heard too much about it in the literature.
When you hear about some of the diseases, though, that dogs and cats are getting, you wonder if it's the food.
Yep.
And if it's food, what's wrong with it?
Exactly. You know, any chemicals, you never know, but... Yeah, I've not heard too much about GMOs and pet food.
Well, Kathleen, thanks for the call. Do you think the incidence of cancer in dogs is any greater than in humans?
Well, I don't know the statistics on that. I mean, we definitely see a lot of cancer in dogs.
But you're a vet. Of course you would.
Well, I mean, in general, there's a lot of cancer in the small animal population, dogs and cats. And they have definitely found some of it going back to certain household chemicals, lawn treatments.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk of, you know, fire retardants on the furniture,
yeah,
things like that. So, you know, they're sort of a little bit of the canary in the coal mine.
Interesting.
Their lives are more compact compared to ours. And especially like cats, they absorb things. They lick themselves. We don't tend to lick ourselves too much. So,
no. You
know, they ingest a lot more stuff than we do.
All right, let's go to Irene in Rosendale. Irene, you're on with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin.
Yes, my question is about designer dogs. Specifically, I had a cockapoo, and I don't know his background because I got him from a shelter, but he wound up with Cushing's disease, and he died of kidney failure last October. Now, I assume to get a cockapoo, you started out with a poodle and a cocker spaniel. But I heard now that they breed one cockapoo with another cockapoo. And my question is, do you know if that can result in more health issues down the road?
My feeling would be no. I would think the more you dilute out, you're getting more of a mutt. So you're getting more of what they call hybrid vigor. You know, certainly, unfortunately, poodles and cocker spaniels as breeds are both relatively prone to getting Cushing's disease. And I'm sorry to hear what happened with your last dog. But, you know, cockapoos as a general breed, they were one of the first little sort of combo dogs that came along. And in general, they're pretty nice, healthy little dogs, I would say.
Okay.
But I think the more you dilute it out, you get out to the third and fourth, you know, generation there, you're getting less and less of each, and more mix of genetics. So I think it would actually be healthier in the long run.
Irene, thank you for the call. And let's see whose turn it is. Looks like Andy in Schenectady. Andy, you're on.
Hi, doctor.
Hello.
I have a feral cat named Juliet that I got from Kitten Angels. She's as best as we can tell, she's 8 years old now. I got her when Kitten Angels thought she was 3. Now, sometimes in the fall, she gets a runny nose and she sneezes. And I thought maybe she's just got a cold or maybe an allergy. Is that anything serious that I should take her to a vet for?
So it happens every fall?
In the fall, usually.
Okay. And is the sneezing and the runny nose clear?
I'm legally blind. I really can't see.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, generally, if she does a little mild sneezing and it's only in the fall, certainly it could be allergy.
Yeah.
And there are also viruses that can linger in cats' bodies. The big respiratory virus in cats is a herpes virus. And so once they get that in their body, they're going to have it for life. And right. any stress coming along can set it off, and they'll do some sneezing for about a week or so, and then it goes away. So it could be that she's got herpes. And it comes around in the fall, or if it is just every fall, I'd be a little suspicious. She has a little bit of an allergy. But if it's just a little sneezing, I'd let it go if it just goes away on its own.
Another question. Now, Kitten Angels, when I got her, they said make sure she gets wet and dry, but she won't touch wet food. I mean, I tried mixing wet and dry, but she won't touch it. I don't want to leave it out there. I'm afraid it'll go rancid. Is it something I should worry about? Because people say... You're supposed to give them wet and dry for their digestive health.
Right.
Anything to worry about too?
Yeah. So the newest thinking in kitty nutrition is really they've come around to realizing that canned food is the way to go with cats.
All right.
But you do get some cats that are really tough. And what they say is you're supposed to put the canned food out. Don't give them any dry. And sort of wait until they're really hungry and give them a little bit and see if they'll eat it and slowly wean them over. It can take quite a while.
Okay.
But on the other hand, if she's going to be one of these tough kitties, I've had a few of them myself, you know, if she's just, as long as she's eating, you know, if it comes down to it as an older kitty, then you might have to work on the canned food again. But
yeah. And remember, Andy, the cat will ultimately break your will regardless of what you want to do.
Cats are tough.
Right. Now I got another question.
All right, well, we got to move it along here, but thank you, sir. We appreciate the call, and let's go quickly over to Dan in Rotterdam. Dan, you're on.
Hi. I have an older 11-year-old Labradoodle who's always been a picky eater. I mean, the first dog I've ever had that wouldn't eat just about anything. And so her diet is very limited. And recently she's developed really bad room clearing gas.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if it's just a function of her age. And she's been to the vet, had, you know, a general health checkup. She's fine in all regards. And it's only happened recently, but boy, when it happens.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So Dan, are her stools formed?
Yes. She has no problem going to the bathroom.
Okay.
She'll do it while she's sleeping. You know, just like, you know.
Terrific.
So a couple of things.
But she is almost 12.
Yep. So. A couple of things you could try is probiotics. So they make some really good probiotics for pets. And one of them that we use is, you know, comes in a capsule and has no flavor. So you just sprinkle it on the food. The other thing is, believe it or not, sauerkraut. Sauerkraut is a really good source of soluble fiber and probiotics, and it makes the colon happy.
Will the dog eat the sauerkraut?
They love it.
Really? Oh, I'll be darned. Well, thank you for that one. Quickly, let's go over to Gwen in Canajoharie. Gwen, you're on.
Our one-year-old puppy thinks it's okay to jump on the couch when she's home alone, and we can't find a way to get her to stop. Do you have any suggestions?
Interesting.
So, well, one thing you can do is put the cushions up on the couch, you know, put them up on end so that she can't get on the cushions. Another thing is you can sort of sabotage the couch a little bit, make a little scary thing for her. You can take soda cans, empty soda cans, and you make a pyramid out of them.
Oh.
And in the very top soda can, you tape several pennies into the soda can so that when she jumps on the couch, knocks it over, it makes a loud noise, it scares her.
Genius.
So that's one thing. Or you can very carefully, and I wouldn't have you do this, have your parents do it, set mouse traps upside down on the couch. So again, when the dog jumps on the couch, the mouse traps just snap up. They won't snap the paw.
Oh boy, that's dangerous.
And they'll scare them.
Okay. Well, Gwen, we have to leave it there, but thank you for the call. And we have about 45 seconds here. This one came in via Facebook from Jenna. We have a 5-month-old lab golden mix. Our vet is recommending we wait until he's at least one before we have him neutered. What are your thoughts on the timing of this?
So this is another sort of newer thing where they are recommending holding off on neutering.
Why?
There is some research coming out. It's very early yet, but there is some research that it helps with joint formation, other orthopedic issues like cruciate tears, and potentially cancers.
Okay.
So in male dogs, if they aren't having behavior issues, it's good to wait until they're a year. Females, we still want to do before they go into heat.
Well, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, thanks for coming all this way on such a terrible day for being here.
You're very lucky. Thank you.
Well, I am very lucky. I hope you're lucky getting home.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. Support comes from George Heigl Antiques, Boston Spa, New York, offering estate sale services, including management appraisals and evaluations for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. Penny Farthing Investment Management Amherst, a socially conscious fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org. Nine Pin Cider Works, 4th Annual Gathering of the Farm Cideries, February 17th, featuring New York Farm Cideries, tastings, and farm market. Two sessions, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m., ninepincider.com. And Lathrop Retirement Communities, communities of older adults devoted to social responsibility and personal and intellectual enrichment, Northampton and Easthampton, Massachusetts, lathrop.kendall.org. Thanks again to the intrepid Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin for being here today on a snowy day. Thanks to you for listening and for the great calls and emails today. Thanks to Zach Malloy. He's done it again. He stayed awake for the entire program. Good job, Zach. Colleen O'Connell answered the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, this is exciting. Tomorrow, astronomer Bob Berman will return to answer your questions about the great beyond. I hope that doesn't mean death. Well, we'll find out tomorrow. Right now, stand by for news.